Vegas Golden Podcast. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Justin Emerson on a Tuesday afternoon of All-Star break, still for the Golden Knights, at least some NHL teams back in action. The Golden Knights won't be until Saturday in Friday in Carolina, excuse me. We're doing this kind of spur of the moment. We were going to record yesterday, but we had an opening in the studio today, so we hopped in here. So excuse me, that's my excuse for not being better prepared. That's going to be our only miscue, though, because I'm going to put the pressure on you right now, Justin. It's only been three episodes, but I say this one is going to be our best.
I sure hope so. I really liked you approached me with the idea about what we're going to do for this show, and I think it's fun. I think we've gotten along a little bit too well in the first two episodes, so maybe this one will spur a little bit of debate, huh?
Yeah, we're a little worried now, though, that maybe it's not going to spur that much debate. Maybe we set the over-under 8.5 of the same. We haven't even said what we're doing yet, so that's not going to make any sense. But here it is. We're going to do the top 10 most important Golden Knights looking ahead, going into the second half of the season, into the playoffs. So the top 10 most important Golden Knights.
We've got 30 games left of the regular season, and then the playoffs will start. We imagine the Golden Knights are going to be there. So who are those top 10 most important players that we're looking at? We have not seen each other's lists. We came up with these yesterday and today. We've been talking it, or I've been going over, and got back from lunch today and just have been sitting at my desk pounding all of this out. And it's not as easy as you might think, even to come up with the 10 guys and then to put them all in order. So I will say that, like, I'm pretty confident in my top three, very happy with that, but like 4 through 12 even, I could be talked into moving them up or down.
I'm just going to keep passing off the pressure to you, because I'm going to say Justin's list is the definitive list, because he was over there agonizing about it, really thinking about it. I thought I was going to be a lot harder for me, but it kind of came naturally, and I got it, and I was like, I'm happy with this. I'm not going to move it around a whole lot. So maybe mine's ridiculous and won't be close, but yeah, so very important, the top 10 players for the rest of the season. Then after we go through each other's lists, we'll go one by one. Then we'll do the final two segments the week ahead, where we look at who the Golden Knights are taking on as they return from their eight-day break. And then the Shining Knight competition, where we pick one guy each.
1-0, Justin.
Yeah,
well,
Justin is up 1-0. I think I'm up 1-0 on the week ahead. I don't know if we're really keeping score, but I did have the better week ahead.
Yeah, you did.
Can't keep me down forever, but yeah, I mean, without further ado, do you just want to jump into it? You want to give me your number 10?
Yeah, let's start with it. First off, I want to just go kind of my honorable mentions. Like, when I put this list together,
I like it.
Colin Miller was one of the first guys I wrote down as being in the top 10. I'm like, this guy's important on the power play. He ended up not making my top 10. So he was the last guy cut, the last guy on the tournament bubble, if you will. But let's start number 10. I've got another blue liner who I just decided might be a little bit more important than that, Shea Theodore. So he's been playing second pair, Derek England, plays on the power play a lot, 51 games, he's only missed one, 6 goals, 16 assists. Those 6 goals have already matched a career high. And my thought on Theodore is this power play has kind of been the weak spot of the team, and his ability to move the puck around on the power play, he's been playing stronger and stronger in his own end, even outside of the power play. I think that Shea Theodore's continued development, I mean, he just signed that long, a 7-year deal just this offseason. He's only 23 years old. I think that a strong second half from Theodore is going to be very important for the Golden Knights.
I like it. We might be talking about Theodore a little bit later. And I'm also feeling less worried about my number 10 pick after your preamble, because my number 10 is Colin Miller.
Oh, there it is.
I came into the season, if there was one guy that I was high on that I wanted to buy stock on, it was Colin Miller. I mean, maybe you're just seduced by you watch the guy in practice and his wrist shot is just more impressive than maybe anyone on the team. He feels like one of those defensive guys that could really give you some offense, and it just really hasn't come so far this year. I think he only has 2 goals. But, you know, sometimes we overreact to even this many hockey games. There's still a lot left. He's only shooting 3%. I know he's not a guy that's ever going to shoot super high, but I feel like that's going to even out a little bit. I think he could be a little bit better. I still think if they can get offense from some of these defensive guys, it could be big. And I think Miller can have a better second half. So I slipped him in at number 10. I thought it might be just me being selfish, because like I said, I've been so high on the guy, but I'm glad to hear you had him an honorable mention.
He was a tough cut for me, because if you look at it, like, we saw he had 10 goals and 31 assists last year. So, okay, this guy can score. He had a breakout year, 10 goals. This is what we can expect from him. Well, you know, he's got 2 this year. He's probably not going to make that 10, but he's got 19 assists. He's got 21 points. So he has almost about half as many points as last year in about half as many games. So he's, from a scoring production, goals and assists, points total, he's right at about where he was last year. So it was very hard for me to cut him out. But yeah, so we both kind of agree that he's right on the precipice. Who you got for number nine, Case?
I have what I think is going to be a controversial number nine, but I'll have to explain my reasoning. I have at number nine, Alex Tuch.
What?
If we
number
were,
nine,
listen,
the guy leads the team in points.
We originally were going to do the most important for the first half, or at least that's how I envisioned it. He would be two or three for me. I think he's been absolutely amazing. He's been one of the best players on the team. The reason why I don't think he's as important going forward is I have so much faith in the second line. I'm so confident in the second line. I feel like if Tuck even regresses a little bit, and I think it's likely he's going to regress a little bit because I just think he's been so lightning, so on fire these last few months, I think it's still okay. I think that he, if we're ranking future, the Golden Knights' future, he's in the top two or three. If we're ranking who's been the best players this year, he's been the top two or three. But when we kind of change the criteria to just over the second half, I think that the second line can endure Tuck not being quite as explosive as he's been and still be okay. This is not taking anything away from Alex Tuch, but that's why it's the criteria change dropped him significantly in my eyes.
Wow. No, I mean, I can understand your reasoning. I don't agree with it even a little bit, but I can kind of understand where you're coming from. I mean, I don't think he is going to regress. I think that this is a 22-year-old coming into, you know, who's 6'4", who's fast. He's got, you know, just a big body power forward, that this is kind of a guy who can become a legitimate star in the league. So for you to have him as number nine for this, I get your reasoning.
Totally agree with everything you said. I think his future is great. And I think, like you said,
he's
only 22. No, but I mean, this is a big thing in sports statistics circles is progression is not always linear. A lot of times we see a guy like, oh, he has just taken off. He's going to just keep getting better and better and better. There's always bumps, and it's hardly ever, unless you're talking in very rare cases, just that straight line. Like we've seen Alex Tuch, he's just going to get better, better, and better. I do think he's going to get better, but I think there's going to be some peaks and valleys in there. And it, just seeing what he's done in the first half, I think he's got some numbers that are a little unsustainable.
Okay.
Have to see. We can put it on the board. We made a bet where we disagreed last week.
Yeah.
I thought there was the most value on the Blue Jackets when we were looking around the NHL.
That's right.
And
that's,
I think right now, if I'm buying or selling stock, I love Alex Tuch. I think he's going to be a great Golden Knight for years to come. But just for the second half of this season, I'm selling on Golden Tuch. It sounds like you're buying.
Okay. Yeah, well, he's not number nine for me. We'll just put it that way. We'll see where he is a little bit later on. Number nine for me is Braden McNabb. This is a defenseman who I love watching as somebody who played a beer league hockey in college, as somebody who wasn't a very good scorer. Just being able to be that stay-at-home defenseman. I'm not saying I can relate to an NHL player in any way, but I'm trying to pretend that I can. And McNabb he's spectacular on the defensive side of the game, which is what they ask him to do. He's paired with Nate Schmidt, who is kind of that shoot-first defenseman. I'm going to have a feature on this probably sometime next week. But the combination of the two of them, Braden McNabb is, you know, one of the best penalty killers on the team. He's the Corsi numbers. I'm getting it up right now. He's second on the team, 847 shot attempts when he's on the ice, 805 against. Now that means that it's only at 51%, but a lot of that is because he's playing against the top lines in the league. When Colorado was here, him and Schmidt locked down the MacKinnon line. They played strong against the Crosby line just last week or week before, whenever that was, against Pittsburgh. So what Braden McNabb is able to do, both at 5-on-5 on the penalty kill, I think that he is very important and an underrated part of the Golden Knights' success so far this season.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. If I had an honorable mention, it would probably be him. I think for this exercise, he might just be a little cursed because he's so solid, so steady. And I feel like you just kind of know what you're getting out of the guy. And I think that's why I left him off the top 10. But I agree, he is a guy that means a lot to them. I guess I went with, for the lack of a better word, the more sexy defenseman. But I can't dispute anything you're saying. I think he is a good choice at number nine.
All right, number eight, I've got the big offseason acquisition. I've got Max Pacioretty at number eight. And I think as part of that is he has not had a bad year by any stretch as much as a lot of people maybe like to think that he has. He's got 15 goals in 39 games, which, you know, if, you know, you put that over 82 games, I mean, that's 30 goals right there. And that's about where he's at, is a 30-goal score. He's been a little injured. He's gone through some rough spots, particularly in the beginning of the year. He's been playing really well lately. His last five games, he has 6 points. He scored in 3 games in a row. Max Pacioretty, and it kind of goes back to what you said about that second line when Tuck and Stastny and Pacioretty are kind of all together. If one of them falters a little bit, you know, maybe the other two will step up a little bit. But I think Pacioretty is important, and particularly just having that, you know, I hate to put too much stock into the veteran leadership kind of aspect of a player's game, but when it gets to the playoffs, you want a guy who's been there, done that. And I think Pacioretty is going to have a big second half of the year for the Golden Knights.
Are you reading off my notes? You said almost word for word what I had, but we'll get to that later. On the second line, I already mentioned it. I had a really tough time ranking these guys. I just have so much faith in it as a whole that, you know, I don't necessarily, I think they can endure one of the guys falling off. I had Paul Stastny at number 8.
Okay.
We've only seen him for 22 games. I think that his best could be still yet to come. I think he kind of goes hand in hand with Pacioretty. I mean, they were the two big acquisitions in the offseason. They're close friends. They have a chemistry. And I don't know. I think you can convince me either way with these three guys. I went Stastny 8. And for, like I said, I threw my list together probably a little bit quicker than yours. I ended up going with Pacioretty a little bit higher.
Okay. No, I can definitely say it.
Kind of the same thought process for both of us.
Yeah, for sure. So who's number 7 for you? Moving on down.
I will do number 7. It's someone you've already mentioned. I had Shea Theodore at number 7. I think these lists always are going to have a little bit of personal bias in them. And I think that's a lot the case with me with Shea Theodore, is because I covered, I don't remember until you arrived, the first 21, 22 games maybe. And Theodore was kind of struggling after signing this big deal and holding out. He had some offensive success, but was making some defensive miscues. And I haven't been around every game since then. I haven't watched every game, but it seems like to me that he's really lifted his game since then. And a lot is being, credited to Nate Schmidt coming back and that really sparking the defense. But I feel like Theodore has been better too. And I think that's kind of been swept under the rug. And I still think he's such a big offensive threat. If you can see a trend developing here, I love those offensive defensemen possibilities. Yeah, so yeah. I think Theodore, if he can stay at this level and even, you know, keep on his ascent a little bit, I think he's a guy that could be extremely key as we head into the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I had him on my list as well. And like I said, 4 through 10, you can convince me probably to move anybody to any spot. I've kind of said what I said about Theodore, so my number 7 is Jonathan Marchessault. And kind of for obvious reasons, he is really good player. He's second on the team in points right now, but you know, the goal production is about the same as we saw last year on a per-game basis, but the assists have tallied off a little bit, and I think that that's, you know, maybe a little bit of just the entire line. William Karlsson struggled a little bit this year. Riley Smith's been hurt now for a little bit. So just kind of that chemistry and that top line hasn't exactly been what it was last season. But there's 30 games left in the season, and Jonathan Marchessault has looked better lately. And, you know, he had the hat trick against Pittsburgh. He had, you know, an assist the next night against Minnesota. So he's been playing well, and I think that I've said this 3 times already, but he's going to be important for the second half of the year to kind of get that top line going.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Marchessault is a guy that you knew would be on the list somewhere. I will say it seems a little low to me.
Put Alex Tuck number 9, so.
I mean, Marchessault, you want to talk about a guy that came into the year favored to lead the team in points and goals. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about someone tailing off? Or I think that Marchessault lower is a bigger stretch than Tuck lower. If you want to talk about my hot streak, I think makes more sense than I don't know. I think Marchessault is a little more proven for a longer stretch.
No, he has been. He was good in, he was all right his last year in Tampa in 2015-16. He goes to Florida that 1 year that he had in Florida. I mean, he was fantastic. He comes to Vegas last year. He was even better. This year he's tailed back, kind of very similar to those numbers that he was putting up in Florida. So, I mean, maybe that's more what Marchessault is kind of a 50-point guy as opposed to a 70- to 80-point guy. Or maybe it's just kind of a symptom of playing alongside a center who's not scoring 43 goals this year. It's got a little bit to do with all of it, but Marchessault number 7.
Yeah, and I don't have it completely different, so I don't even know. We'll get to where I have.
Yeah, are you about
Marchessault
to say he's number 6 or something like that?
No, not quite that, but I've said my 7. We both had our 7s now, so I guess that's a transition into my 6, and another guy you've already talked about, Max Pacioretty, and I pretty much agree with the exact same things you have as the notes I have put down. I mean, he's over a long period as a veteran, he's the most proven goal scorer on the team.
Yep, I agree with that.
I think that he could be score even more as the second half goes on. And I am, if you've ever listened to any of our podcasts before with Brewer, we argue about this all the time. I am not a big leadership guy at all. Kind of like you said, I don't care about intangibles. I don't want to hear about it.
It's just kind of, but, it's just hard to quantify.
But he's one guy that you can convince me that his leadership will come in handy, that you can kind of see them leaning on more as the games become more significant. You could, I wouldn't roll my eyes and yell at you if you said that with Max Pacioretty, which I think was kind of the same point you were trying to get across.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Like, I think that there's there to an extent, but I don't think you can bring in, and not to say that Pacioretty's a bad player, but if you were to bring in a bad player with a good leadership qualities, I really don't think that's a net positive for your team. I'd rather have the better player on the ice, and Max Pacioretty is, he's obviously a good player on the ice. But yeah, I agree with you. I think just kind of having that guy that I think that when it does come to playoff time, and I mean, this is a Golden Knights team that made the final without him, but it's good to be able to have that guy, and I'd be willing to put some money down that Pacioretty has a game-winning goal in the playoffs this year. Like, that kind of seems like almost a foregone conclusion to me. All right, so that was number... What are you laughing at?
I don't even know how. I'm just going to have to say my list is wrong now. I don't even know how to break this.
Did you just forget? Did you just forget somebody?
I think I've only got 9.
Case.
So I'm like, wait a minute. I thought Pacioretty was 5. Now I'm counting. I've got 4 ahead of him for sure. No. So.
All right, so apparently you're doing a top 9 yeah. list apparently. So 9. Yeah, maybe you should have spent coming right, back.
Well,
I
gave McNabb so much praise that McNabb, I guess, is my official 10.
You're just gonna make him number 10 and set everybody up one.
Unless there's someone I'm just like terribly forgetting.
Well,
that I guess we're
about to find out. So all right, so that's your number 5. So, I guess I'll do the next two. My number 6, because I actually did do 10 guys, is Riley Smith. He's hurt right now. And he plays on the power play. He plays on the penalty kill. He is kind of an assist machine. Like, he only has 9 goals this year, so which isn't that far off of the pace from a lot of these other guys. But he's been kind of seeding that goal scoring for playmaking. And what he's able to, like, him and Carlson, when they're out there on a penalty kill, sometimes it feels like a power play. They're able to keep the puck down in the opposite zone. Yeah, Riley Smith, he's the guy who's scored double-digit goals every year for the last 5 years. He had 22 last year on that top line. Probably won't get there this year, but again, the assist numbers are right there, and only 27 points, but you know, some of that's hurt, and again, some of it's, like I said with Marchessault, is not having a center that's got 43 goals that takes away assists from you. So what do you think about Riley Smith?
Well, thanks for the pick-me-up and reading my mind, because Riley Smith is actually the guy I left off and the cause of this exercise going south for me, because I, with the IR, I was like, how do I quantify this? Let me come back to it. Let me think about it. Then I got so enamored with putting my notes together for the other guys, and I never put numbers next to them. So Riley Smith got left off for me, and I'm not knocking off McNabb, so McNabb's staying at 10. Riley Smith's just going to have to be a guy that... is the honorable mention for me. I like what you're saying, though. I think that certainly when he's at his best, I mean, you can just see the way Carlson and Marchessault play off of him. You know, the problem is I feel like I was a little underwhelmed with his first half when he was healthy. That's not to say that he's not going to come back and be strong in the second half, and he could be a guy that's really kind of the glue that holds it together. But I think that if he does do that, he's going to be a guy that unquestionably is going to be huge for the Golden Knights.
Yep. All right, so I guess just to get us back on track, I'll do my number 5 now.
Go for it.
My number 5 is Alex Tuch. I've got him pretty high on, and just kind of for the reasons that I was giving you flack for not having him higher is, you know, this is a good player, and I think that he's going to stay playing good. There's no reason to think that he's slowing down at all, and the fact that they've gotten to this point with Alex Tuch as the leading goal scorer says quite a bit, just as his ability to progress this season. He's got a point in 3 straight now. He scored against Minnesota, really pretty goal. I've got Alex Tuch. We kind of already went over him a little bit, but that's my number 5 is Tuch.
So if my math is right, on his current pace, he would score 11 goals in the last 30 games.
Sounds
he has
right.
16 right now through 44. You say he's going to keep at the same pace. I say he's not. Do we want to make our second ever board bet here on the Vegas Golden Podcast?
Saying,
you will go.
We're saying 11 goals, so we think he's going to end with at least 27.
I'll give
goals.
You over 10 and a half. I'll give you a good number on it. I'll take under 10 and a half for the next 30 games. Yeah.
All right, I'll take the over. You want to bet a lunch on it?
Sure. We'll go for it.
All right. We'll write that one down. I'll take Alex Tuch scoring 11 more goals this year. I think that he's been great, and I think, like we had said, if Pacioretty and Stastny, who you have already had, is being important, like, he's I won't say he's the goal scorer on that line, but he's going to produce from a Paul Stastny who, you know, hasn't been scoring too many goals, but his passing's unbelievable, and I think that, you know, having Tuch and Pacioretty on either wing gives a talented center like Stastny ability to distribute either way he wants. So yeah, I'll take it. I think Alex Tuch.
Fun thing to watch for the rest of the year. Now you've got the over 10.5. I feel like I gave you a good number, but I'm sticking with what I said. I'm not going to backtrack on it now. I think it'll be close. It'll come down to the last few games. I'm going to say he has 9 or 10 goals going into the playoffs.
Man, I hope he has a hat trick on the last day of the year. Yeah. just to kind of clinch it.
That would be outstanding. So that's your number five. Can't fault you. It was just kind of a different way of reading into this, why he dropped for me. I already named my number five, even though I said he was number six with Max Pacioretty. But I'll go ahead and do my number four. 4 and 3 were kind of tough to me. I feel like you could have convinced me either way, but I ended up going with 4, Jonathan Marchessault.
Okay.
A lot of the reasons you already said, we already talked about him. You know, also, we've talked about how time and time again, it feels like I'm a broken record, but just how this team doesn't have a superstar and they need everyone to, you know, kind of be in that steady to great range. But I think if there's one guy that can get hot and play almost like a superstar for a few game stretch, it's Jonathan Marchessault. I mean, he has stretches where he just looks outstanding. And if one of those comes in the playoffs, I think his value can be infinite. So I've got top liner Jonathan Marchessault at number 4.
All right, yeah. I've got Paul Stastny at number 4, and I almost wanted to put him higher just because of how vitally important he has been since he's come back, not just in the distributing way that we had talked about. He's leading the team at a 55% faceoff win percentage, and I think that that is kind of an underrated part of his game, is how he's able to win those faceoffs. And what I like a lot of times is Gallant will have Stastny out to take the faceoff in the defensive zone when the top line is out there, because William Karlsson struggled a little bit. He's sitting under 50% right now on faceoffs. So he's had Stastny out there, and then as soon as they win the draw, because he's won a lot of his draws, he'll head to the bench and somebody else will hop out over the board. So he's been using him even when his line isn't out there. He's out there on the penalty kill sometimes with, now that he wasn't really, and then Riley Smith got hurt, and then now Stastny's been out there. He's out there on the power play. He's out there when the Golden Knights need a goal late in the game. He's out there when they need to defend a goal late in the game. I could be talked into saying that he's been their most important player since he has come back. Paul Stastny, I'm very high on for the rest of the season.
I like it. I just want to know, I got so much grief for Alex Tuch yet. According to your rankings, I have Stastny equally as undervalued.
Maybe you should have had him higher too, yeah.
Am I crazy though with my overall thinking as far as the second line? I trust the second line, I think, even more than the first line. So that's why none of these guys were super high to me. Is that wild or where's that?
I can see where you're coming from. The fact that you can almost, you know, these guys are gonna score. They're not really gonna have trouble scoring. I don't think that they're gonna go into too many extended slumps. So in that regard, maybe some players on other lines are more important to the team's success because you can pencil in you know, some production from the second line, who has been, in my mind, you know, the second line in name only. They've been the best line since they've been together. Tuck, Stastny, and Pacioretty. But it looks like, if I'm doing it right, unless one of us left somebody off, it looks like our top three are the same guys.
It does look like our top three are the same guys. I'm going to say probably not in the order, if I had to guess. But I'm pretty sure our top three are the same. And since your list is the official, we'll just let you go
the
last
official,
from now on. I will go with my number three and say that I have William Karlsson. Not to harp on what I already said with Marchessault about the superstar thing, but if you can tell me that there is a bonafide superstar on the roster, I think you could convince me that Karlsson can still get there. He started a little slow, but he's been, I mean, really good ever since then. Has 32 points. You know, is a guy, we saw how ridiculous he could be last year. If he can, you know, up his scoring a little bit, and I don't know. I think that his ceiling is still might be the highest on the team for this season. I could just really see him getting into a rhythm and being the offensive guy they lean on the most. We know he has that kind of talent, and he just does things on the ice that kind of wow you. So I think he was an easy choice to be in the top three.
Yeah, I'll save what I have to say about him for
just so I don't get yelled at for that one. No, or are you just holding it back?
No, not at all. Not at all. My number three is Nate Schmidt, and just seeing what he's done since he's come back. He already has, 14 points, 17 points this year in 32 games, which, I mean, is just a spectacular pace. That is well above a career best for him. Last year it was 76 games, 36 points. So, you know, Schmidt, given 82 games at this production, which, you know, I don't have the math in front of me, would be about, you know, 40 some odd points. You know, he's better than half a point per game. Than what he's able to do on the defensive end, like I had said earlier with Braden McNabb, to be able to shut down these top lines. He plays on the power play. He doesn't do a whole lot of penalty killing, but Gallant said it before that Nate Schmidt's their best defenseman, and it's hard to disagree with that. You saw the defensive core when he wasn't there the first 20 games of the year, and I don't think necessarily because he came back, the team kind of went back to their own ways from or old ways from last year, but it certainly didn't hurt. Nate Schmidt has been tremendously important for the first 52 games of the year, 32 games for him, and I think he will be the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think that you're probably spot on having him three. I actually went with Nate Schmidt at two just because I feel like he's earned the spot so much. He has just been on fire since he's come back from his suspension. Only played 32 games, yet is third on the team in point shares. You know, the defense, it's just been a transformation since he's been on. As you've said, I think if this guy really is, can be that, you know, solid first line, not a guy that you're ever going to be worried about, your number one defender, I just think his value is so limitless to this team. So more than anything, you know, if you maybe had a gun to my head and said who's more important if they're going to make the Stanley Cup, I would probably say Carlson. But I just think for what Schmidt has done in these 32 games, I think it almost can't be overstated. So I leaned him just ever so slightly in that spot.
Yeah, you could make a case for him being 3-2 or even 1 just because I think that if he were to get hurt, that would be one of the more devastating injuries that the team could sustain other than just by process of elimination, you're number one. So let's move on to him. He's my number two, and I'm sure he's your number one, and that's Marc-Andre Fleury. Just, I mean, what do we need to say? He's the reason that they've been able to stay in this season so far. Leads the league in shutouts, ice time, wins, games. He's out there all the time. He's been spectacular.
Yeah, certainly. I think he is my number one, so we'll just have a discussion about him in general. I think this kind of dates back to last year. It wasn't on a podcast, but it was in the newsroom going into the playoffs. Our old Vegas Golden Knights beat writer, Jesse Granger, who was known for a hot take or two, declared if they make the Stanley Cup, it's only going to be because of Marc-Andre Fleury. He's their most important player. And I rolled my eyes and said, how can you say that? We haven't seen what's going to happen yet. And lo and behold, they somehow made the Stanley Cup, which I never would have expected. And they did it because Marc-Andre Fleury was incredible. Just had a ridiculous playoffs. And I feel like if they're going to make a run like that again, I just feel like Fleury's going to have to be the best player on the team. I guess I've come around to Jesse's way of thinking here. The goalie is just so important, and I feel like, you know, that's been time and time again when you see a team that isn't necessarily been the best regular season team, and I don't think we're going to see the Golden Knights end up with, like, the best record in the Western Conference. I think if you see them end up, you know, winning the Western Conference again, I just see the most likely path to that being Fleury just somehow getting in this playoff form again and just stopping everything sent his way.
Yeah, he had last year in the playoffs before in the first three rounds, so against LA, San Jose, and Winnipeg, .947 save percentage, 168 goals against average. The one thing I worry about with him is something I think that myself and other people in the media have talked about kind of ad nauseum is just, you know, he's on pace for 71 starts now. And that is a lot for a 34-year-old. He's never had that. And just looking at a piece that'll be out either later this week or next week, his best playoffs have come when he's had more rest. Now, granted, he won a Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh when he had started, I think it was 64 or 65 games that year. But other than that, his three best playoff performances have been when he's played fewer than 50 games. So he had that last year. He's not going to have that this year. They don't have, I won't say it's a luxury. Well, it kind of was. They had enough points last year that when he went out, that other goalies were able to do it. And I can see if we had just talked about if Schmidt got hurt, it'd be devastating. If Marc-Andre Fleury got hurt, that would be the most devastating thing that could happen to the Golden Knights. So I definitely see why you've got him at number one. I have it number two, and I think William Karlsson's the most important player going down the stretch. Just what he was able to do last year, 43 goals. We know that he has that potential to do it again, and that's kind of been my biggest. And we've seen one-hit wonders in the league before, guys that'll score 50 goals and then be never heard from again. William Karlsson scored 43 goals last year, so there's certainly a chance that that was the best that William Karlsson will ever be. But the fact that he did do it makes me know that it's possible for him to do it again. And he, you know, he's not going to get to 43. He just doesn't have that many games. If he were to, he might win the MVP. But they just need to get him going. In the year 2019, he only has one game with a point. He had a goal and an assist against Pittsburgh. Other than that, he's been shut out. He has had only two multi-point games since December 22nd. Karlsson is so important to this team, and we mentioned it with Marchessault and Smith, that their assist numbers are down this year because they don't have the guy who's potting in a goal every time the puck's on his stick, it seemed like it was last year. So if you were to ask me one guy who needs to boost his production from the first half of the year into the second half and what that would mean for the Golden Knights, it would certainly be Wild Bill.
All right, well, since I am Mr. Pessimism on this podcast when it comes to the Golden Knights' best player, it sounds like I will go one step further in what you just said, and I will say William Karlsson is never scoring 43 goals again. Doesn't mean he can't be a great player and mean a lot to the Golden Knights, but last year was just ridiculous, and anyone that's setting his expectations that high, I feel like needs to take a little bit of a step back. He can still be their most important player. He can still be huge over the second half, but, you know, last year, I know people are sick of hearing about it, but there's just, you're not going to shoot almost 24% over.
I was just going to say, you didn't like the 23% yeah. shooting percentage after he shot 8.3 in Columbus and then 6.3, yeah.
But I don't dispute anything you're saying. I think that Karlsson is a good choice. And like I said, I think I said when I talked about him that his ceiling is the highest, I think, offensively. I just don't think he's getting to 43 again. I still think he could play the biggest role of anyone over the second half of the year. I just would lean to the goalie because I saw what it meant last year. Very worried about Fleury's workload, as you pointed out, and hinted that we'll be able to read more about on LasVegasSun.com. But I don't take away from your choice. I think it's a good choice. I think you made a good case for that.
Yeah, so just to kind of recap, my 10 through 1, I had Theodore, McNabb, Pacioretty, Marchessault, and Smith was number 6. Tuck at 5, Stastny, Schmidt, Fleury was number 2. And then Karlsson was number 1. For you, it looks like because you had
my top 9.
Yeah, your top 9. You had Braden McNabb if you want to throw him at 10. Miller, Tuck, Stastny, Theodore, Pacioretty, and then Marchessault at 4. Karlsson, Schmidt, and Fleury. So very similar lists. A little bit of disagreement over the order. You know, the same top 3, and I think that we can both be in agreement that William Karlsson, Marc-Andre Fleury, Nate Schmidt are going to need to have big second halves of the year in order to propel the Golden Knights.
Absolutely. We all agreed on the most important offensive player, defensive player, well, and goalie by default, but I think it wasn't as different. Ours lists really weren't that different. We argued about some of the intricacies, but about the same, and I think it's a pretty good list of where the Golden Knights are at heading in to the second half of the season. So before we leave you, let's just briefly touch on that second half of the season, which starts on Friday, as we already mentioned, at Carolina. Really busy stretch, actually.
Yeah.
I hope they...
Yeah.
Just looking at the schedule, that's kind of takes me aback. Just want to talk about this whole road trip. So it's all going to be in 6 days. They play at Carolina, at Florida, at Tampa, and at Detroit.
Yeah, they've got... they start off with a back-to-back against Carolina and Florida. You know, those aren't teams that necessarily you think of, but Carolina's kind of been a team that, you know, high Corsi rates, but it hasn't translated into goals. So Carolina's a team that I really think we should keep an eye out
every single year. Every year they do this. It drives me crazy.
Yeah. No, they are kind of that team every year. But I don't know. My point is you can't really. I mean, that's not a team that you can take for granted because they're coming off of us too. Florida. You know, it's never easy to play the second game of a back-to-back in a different city. And then they get 2 days off, and then they get to go play the Lightning. And that's not a fun place to play. Tampa Bay has been virtually impossible to win in. Or really, when you're hosting them, they've just been a behemoth this year. So if you can get 2 points out of that, that'd be spectacular. And then Detroit, who has been terrible and might have gotten Edmonton's general manager fired. You see that? He got fired midway through the game against...
I saw he was fired.
They were losing on home ice to the Red Wings, and I'm sure the decision was made, but the optics of, like, look, dude, we're down after the second period at home to the worst team in the league. You gotta go.
Wow, I did not realize that was middle of the game. I do want to make clear I was not calling you out on that. I actually love this Carolina team. It's just so frustrating to me. I bet them in the future is probably, I think maybe my biggest future bet before the season was Carolina at plus 200 to make the playoffs. I just thought they'd be able to harness that shot volume better with Rod Brind'Amour coming in. He had some new ideas, and it seems like they've had their ups and downs. I just, this is a team that I'm just so frustrated with. I feel like they should be better. They still have a chance, but that's not an easy game to open up with. I know it feels like anecdotally the Golden Knights have done pretty good with them. They've lost once. I think they've beat them the other two times they've met. Don't have that in front of me, but that's a tough first game, and then to go back-to-back to Florida. Florida not having a great year, but, you know, they can be a little bit of a nuisance, too. Then you go into the Tampa Bay game, where I think that Tampa Bay game here is one that really got away from the Golden Knights. That was, they played really well in that game early in the year.
They outshot them in the third period, like 20-1
and ended up losing 3-2. You really didn't feel like the, at that point, you didn't feel like the quality of the teams were that divergent after watching that game. They looked pretty even, but obviously what the Lightning have gone on to do has been ridiculous. And this,
you're 20-5 at home.
Yeah, it's just absurd. So it's really hard to count on them winning that game. And you mentioned how much Detroit is struggling. It's kind of hard to count on them not winning that game.
Yeah, so. Yeah. You get two teams. I mean, Tampa Bay leads the NHL with 76 points right now. Detroit is third from the bottom at 45. So a little contrast when you go from Tampa to Detroit on this trip. You know, I'll just take the easy way out and say that they split it. I'm thinking 2-2, 2-2-0. I think they let's say they beat Carolina, lose to Florida, lose to Tampa, and then beat Detroit. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think Tampa and Detroit, you just have to go. I mean, they're going to be a big favorite, big dog in those games, so that's one-on-one. I've already kind of let you peek behind the curtain of how much I like Carolina, and I feel like it's hard after 8 days off to go win that game, so I'm going to go Carolina. God, I don't want to be so negative, but it's a back-to-back. Yeah. Screw it. I'll say they lose in overtime to Florida.
1-2-1
I'm all about the overtime picks, as I picked overtime their last time. I'm going to say 1-2-1.
1-2-1. They're going to get 3 points out of these four
Alex
games.
Tuck scores no goals. All right, so 2-2 and 1-2-1, and then they'll be back. We'll have a podcast next week before this, but they do return against Columbus the next Saturday.
Yep, that'll be their first home game in like 2.5 weeks. That's interesting scheduling, just with the All-Star break and then the bye week and then a 4-game road trip on the East Coast. So, all right, I guess we'll move into our Shining Knights segment.
And you know who I'm not picking, I guess, after I just declared he's not scoring a goal in any of the games. And I do think I get the first pick, though. You had the first pick. It took Tomas Nošek, who
that was an interesting choice,
won by default over Brandon Peary, who I went with. Ooh, this is a tough one for me. Who do I go with? Well, I'm going to tell you, out of all, I'm going to base this just totally off of you. Out of everyone you talked about and you really sold me on that has me fired up to watch over the second half, I think you did the best job on Paul Stastny. So I'm just going to go with him out of the gate. He's going to be my pick. I raved about the second line. I think it's been great. I think maybe Stastny gets a couple goals here, makes a couple assists to Max Pacioretty.
Well, I was going to pick Max Pacioretty, so that's my guy.
Oh,
so
no. All right, well, so we're going to have
to watch these next four games pretty carefully, I guess, to find out who was the better one, especially if Stastny just does dish it out to Pacioretty. I mean, goals and assists are worth the same amount of points. Is that different in soccer? Like, do you get more points for goals? Is that right?
I don't want to say for sure, but I think so.
I think it's like
just because
two or three points for, I might be thinking of wins. I don't know.
Las Vegas Sun managing editor Ray Brewer was very confused, but not a big hockey guy by his own admission. He was very confused about the point system in hockey, and he is a soccer guy in background. So I feel like he was confused because soccer, I think it is different.
Yeah, I mean, I had asked him for help on my list, and we found out that he can almost name 10 Golden Knights.
I think he got to six, not to throw him under the bus.
Six, and then he gave us a James Neal, and we're like, all right, we're not doing this anymore.
Exactly. All right, so a second-line showdown.
Yeah,
versus Pacioretty.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a little more high-powered than the no points from either Nošek or Peary that we had on our last Shining Knights segment. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. We're probably going to have to watch these games. Probably can't really rely on the stat sheet to find out who did better when they're on the same line. If they both have 5 points or whatever, got to see who made that happen.
Absolutely. Well, that concludes our not only our top 10 Golden Knights, most important over the second half of the year, but also our look ahead and our Shining Knight on Vegas Golden Podcast Episode 3. I don't know when we'll be back, but sometime next week. Yeah. For sure, after this road trip.
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, Thursday or Friday, going into the Columbus game. It's been fun. Had a little bit of disagreement, had a little bit of agreement.
It wouldn't make good content if we agreed on everything, Case.
Absolutely. So there we go. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.